This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات صدق الله العظيم. But yesterday we started off the step by step and we concluded, if I'm not mistaken, until the time of Muzdalifah. We were in Muzdalifah. You come to Muzdalifah. You make the Maghrib and Isha together at the time of Isha. So even if you come into Muzdalifah at the time of Maghrib, you will still wait for Isha to make the jump. And so in the jump of Arafah, you have one azan and two iqamas. Here you have one azan and one iqamah. So you make Maghrib and Isha with one iqamat. As I said yesterday, that Muzdalifah is a very, very significant night. Some ulama have made mention and that is even more significant than the night of Qadr. So we try our utmost to try and spend the time in zikr, askar, dua. Although I made mention that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for much of the night rested. And the ulama have said the reason for that was that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it easy for the ummah. So if someone, because of the tiredness of the day of Arafah, finds it difficult to get up and needs to sleep, there should be no guilt. My Nabi did so. So there is nothing wrong with regard to that. The time of wukuf, the way the time for wukuf in Arafat is from the time of after Zawal till Maghrib. The time of wukuf for Muzdalifah is from the time of Subah Sadiq, after you read your Fajr, till just before sunrise. Right, so Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left just before sunrise, and the time for the next rite or the next action of Hajj is now to pelt. And on that particular day, we pelt the Jamarai Aqaba, what we call the big shaitan, Akabiri Mujrimiha, the big one. So that day we did on the 10th, the mustahab time to do it between Zawal and no, between in the morning till Zawal time. From Zawal till sunset, there is no karahiyat. There is no, it's not makruh. You can do it even between Zawal and night. From the night till the next morning, it's also permitted to pelt, but with karahiyat, a sense of dislike. So it's not haram, and there is no dam if you do it after Maghrib. But if you do it after Fajr, then it is. Even if you haven't done it, you still have to do it even after Fajr the next day. But that time there will be a dam and there will be a penalty. So that is a time for with regard to the pelting. Now pelting is a very important part of Hajj. We will be doing it for 3 days at least, if not 4 days. So on the third day when we do, we only do one jamara, right, the 10th. And we pick up our stones from Muzdalifah at night. Now the stones are not supposed to be very big. And when they're too small, just a little bit more than a date pit. Right? Try and wash the stones if possible. It's better to wash the stones. And when you are going to, it's preferable that you only at least take the stones for the first day pelting. You don't have to take the stones for all 3 days of pelting. But if you are in Muzdalifah, it's better that you take. So you will take, for example, you will take 7 for the 10th, 21 for the 11th and 21 for the 12th. And if you are going to do the 13th, then you took another 21. So you can do the maths yourself. Those who are good in maths, you know, I think 21, 21 and 7 will be 49. Right? And if you do the other one, if you take the third day, then you take 70. Maybe take one or two extra in case you hit someone's head instead of shaitan. So yeah. So then also you can consider that if you want to take one or two extra, a couple extra. So now when you do the pelting, one important thing, why do we do the pelting? The pelting is because we are, and Hajj is all the time an aspect of symbolism. There's so much of symbolism in Hajj that you do things because of emulation and taking the lessons from what has been done previously. Now, you know, it's very interesting. Previously, when a person did some good deed, or some heroic act. So in the past, what people did, they put up something to commemorate that act. right? So they used to put up a statue or something like that. There's a statue in Durban. What is it? The person who went in for 7 times to rescue the people? Walter Mada. Right. So what they did there was, they did a statue or a building to commemorate a good deed or something that was done previously. Now look at the beauty of Islam. Whenever a good deed has been done in Islam, then how do we commemorate it? We commemorate it by emulating it. We commemorate it not by building a statue. We don't commemorate it by putting up a building. What we do is we emulate it. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam set out to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Then what we do every year, we may do qurbani. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam was asked, ma hadhi al-adhahi ya Rasulullah? What is the significance of udhiya? Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is a sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He set out to slaughter his one son, so you are emulating it in a way, because Allah Ta'ala had ransomed وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْءٍ عَزِيمٍ. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was trying to slaughter, couldn't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a ram, and when Allah Ta'ala sent down the ram and the sheep, it was وَفَدَيْنَاهُ, we ransomed and we substituted Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam with the ram. So that's what we do, you know. So that's why when we make the dua, when we're making qurbani, what dua do we make? Allahumma taqabbalhu minni. Oh Allah, accept from me. Kama, the way you accepted from min khalilaka Ibrahim wa habibika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way you accepted from Khalil and Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we that's how we do. So here also symbolism. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam was going out to slaughter his son, and Shaitan could not see such an act of submission. So he came in the form of a block, he came in the form of trying to prevent him. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi wasalam told Hazrat Ibrahim, take stones and throw it at him. He threw 7 stones and Shaitan disappeared. And he did it 3 times. So that's why, as an act of emulation, we will be doing the same thing. So don't look at this as insignificant. There is a symbolism behind it. There is a lesson behind it. And one of the lessons is, we will not allow anything to come in between us and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything comes between us and the obedience of Allah, we will remove it. How the hadith says, لا تعت المخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience of creation if it involves disobedience of Allah. A general rule. You don't obey the creation if it means disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your wife or the husband tells you to do something wrong, you say, why? Allah Ta'ala's commands is supreme. I love you, I will accept whatever you say with regard to something that is permitted, I will do so. I will even give you extra. And there's nothing wrong. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention that afzalu dinar, the best of dinars that you can spend, is yunfiquhu rajul, that a person spends on the needs of his family. Right? So if you spend for the needs of your wife, there is nothing wrong. Right? It's the best of dinars to spend, as long as it's not extravagance. So that's why, you know, we as husbands, we always pay. So a small child one day asked the father, he said, oh my father, how much does it cost to get married? So the father replied, oh my son, I don't know, I'm still paying. So we all the time paying. So there's nothing wrong, you have to give for the stuff. But if they tell you to buy something that is wrong, sorry, I can't do it. Because la ta'atul makhluq fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience of creation in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even vice versa. Nowadays it happens like that, the women are more pious than the men, right? Or many a times at least. So now what do we do? So what we do when we spend things, it's that lesson. Anything that comes between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to remove it. The way Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam removed it. And I made mention, one of the amazing things with regard to Hajj is a lesson in submission. You do it because Allah ta'ala told you. Even if you don't see the logic, you don't see the wisdom, you don't see the reason. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told people, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read salat the way you see me read salat. So we read salat the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read salat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people in the Hajj, take from me the rites of Hajj, you might not get another opportunity again. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this was going to be the last Hajj. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take from it. We do it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Someone asked you and said, Ibrahim alayhi salam saw shaitan there, therefore he was pelting him. You don't see shaitan, what are you pelting? Huh? Ibrahim alayhi salam saw shaitan in front of him and he pelted. You don't see shaitan, what are you pelting? I'm pelting because the command of Allah Ta'ala. And wallah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi writes, it breaks the back of shaitan It breaks the back of Shaitan to see someone doing something purely out of submission, even if it doesn't appeal to his intellect. Can you imagine? Shaitan must be feeling, Ya Allah, these people are doing it, they don't see me. Some people, if people really feel that is Shaitan. I mean, I've seen people take a whole guest stove and throw it in there. And always at the this time, you always see one clip coming. And one person will come from the back and make that whole, you know, dance, and before he will go and hit that Shaitan. What I'm trying to say is that, can you imagine Shaitan being humiliated to this extent that people are doing things out of submission? And how do we do it? Mina to the right, Makkah to the left. And then we stand in that particular way. Alhamdulillah, things have become very, very easy nowadays. Last year was extremely easy. Even this year, I mean, see, last year was 900,000, this year will be 3 million people. But even with the 3 million people, comparatively to before, you would recall that many of the masail used to be that women must do it after Maghrib because of the crowds. And that time they used to be the pushing, they only used to be on ground floor. And I've seen it. I came for Hajj that time, it was like a mini Qiyamah like type of thing. You know, the type of crowds that you used to see, an amount of pushing. You really felt that, you know, someone is going to get hurt. Because everyone was only coming at one direction. Now, Alhamdulillah, Allah knows best. The wisdom, they have done it over 3 floors. So now you find it very, very easy to do the pelting compared to before. So you do Mina to the right, Makkah to the left, and you take one, the small stone, and with utmost of dignity, you know. You don't take out your anger, and you know, Shaitan, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of in a very beautiful passage in the Holy Quran. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانَ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْعَمْرِ. Shaitan will tell you on the day of Qiyamah. This is like putting salt on the wounds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala promised you something, Allah's promise was true. I promised you something, my promise was wrong. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. I had no authority to tell you to do anything. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I told you to do wrong, فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You heard me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, don't blame yourself. Now can you imagine if you have done wrong, following Shaitan, and then on the day of Qiyamah, Shaitan must tell you, don't blame me, blame yourself. Although he told us to do these things, and then afterwards he tells us on the day of Qiyamah, don't blame me, blame yourself. I didn't force you to do something wrong. You had to do it on your own. Right? So we have to, our resistance against Shaitan and nafs must come from our iman, right? Not from anything else. So there we do it with the dignity, we throw it. There is a dua to be read, easy dua, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. When you read every time you pel the Shaitan for all the speltings, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You can read in the beginning one time, Raghaman li Shaitan wa Ridhal li Rahman. If you don't remember the Arabic, O Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, before O Allah, I'm pelting to antagonize Shaitan and the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of the Arabic. Raghamal li Shaitan wa Ridhal li Rahman. And then read Bismillah, Allahu Akbar for every time you pelt. After you pelt, you carry on. Now the tartib with regard to pelting is that in the first two jamarats, you make dua, the last one you don't make the dua. Right? So after the first two, you make dua. And I'm not sure with regard to the first day, I'll just check up. But I know that the second and third day, you'd make dua in the first and the second. And the third one, you immediately after pelting, you move on. You don't make dua. You make dua in the first two, even if it's a short dua, to follow the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? And thereafter, when you pelt the first day, after you pelt the first day, normally we will come, I don't know what's the tartib, tomorrow we will find out with regard to how the situation is. Maulish Suhail had said he will give us the logistics. Last year what we did, we took the bus and we came here to the hotel, and from here we walked up here. Because here the pelting is very, very, not very far. Maybe a kilometer or two, you get an elevator, you go up the elevator, you get buses coming. The buses take you to, I think, the first or the second floor, and the first day you pelt, within half an hour you can be back. So then you come back here, and last year, a barber was called into the hotel after the people's qurbani, and the dam was done. According to the numbers that were called out, the hairs were being shaved off. So now, after that, after you have done the pelting, you have done your dam, you have done your halaq or your qasr, and most likely it will be the halaq, now you can come out of ihram. So now on the third day you take a shower and you come out of ihram. So all the restrictions are now completed. Right? So all the restrictions are lifted besides one restriction. I don't think that restriction anyone will do anything. The ladies are listening, so I won't say anything. So that restriction, you stay away from the wife, right? Till after tawaf and ziyarat at least, if not after hajj. Right? So that particular, that after all the other restrictions are now lifted. Right? Besides that one restriction, because that we have to wait for after hajj, at least tawaf and ziyarat, if not after hajj. So thereafter, now you have completed. Now what actually happens, you might, many times people are tired. Now it all depends. Now you have to make tawaf and ziyarat. Tawaf and ziyarat is first that the three faraz to wear ihram, Arafat and tawaf and ziyarat. Tawaf and ziyarat is a must. You cannot come out of ihram or you cannot complete your hajj until you make tawaf and ziyarat. The time for tawaf and ziyarat is from after you have made your dam and you have made your halak and qasr till Maghrib of the 12th. Now people must find. Obviously now, it's human nature. Right? Human nature, I got to do it, let me do it as soon as possible. By and large, that is the feeling. No, I have to do it. It's on my shoulder. It's a responsibility for me. Let me do it as quick as I possibly. Sometimes people like to do it that way. Sometimes people say, let us wait till the next day. I mean, comparatively, if you're going to do it the first day, the mataf will be very, very full. Right? And in that particular way, you will have to contend with that particular situation. Sometimes people can wait for the next morning, or you can even wait for the next evening. So tawaf and ziyarat, there isn't any tartib, there isn't any sequence with regard to tawaf and ziyarat. On the 10th, you have to do things according to sequence. According to Hanifa, the four things you have to do in sequence. That is, you have to do the wukuf of Muzdalifa, then the rami, then the dam, then the halaq and qasr. These things have to be done in that sequence. If you go and shave your head before the dam, you have to pay, before the dam is shukar, you have to pay a penalty. So don't be in a hurry. Wait till your dam is done and called out and said, your dam is done. They mark a tick and said, now this number to this number has been done. If your numbers fall in there, then you go and do the halak. If you do the halak before, you have to give a dam. So that sequence has to be kept in mind. But tawaf and ziyarat is not part of the sequence. If someone wants to be a little bit, clever, he says, all right, listen, while everyone is still going to go and do the pelting, I did the pelting, I'm still waiting for the dam. I'm still waiting for the dam shuka. Let me go quickly and make tawaf and ziyarat. You can go and do it. So 10 o'clock you come, you finish your pelting. Say, let me go and do tawaf and ziyarat. It's permissible because tawaf and ziyarat is not part of the sequence. The sequence is there. But anyway, tawaf and ziyarat from the 10th till the 12th. So after that, you do tawaf and ziyarat according to whenever you find the need and how you feel. I suppose in that particular matter, it will depend on individual preference, whether you want to go and do it that night. We'll try and find it. I know that last year we did take a bus and we did take a shuttle to go with. But once you were there, it was very difficult to keep everyone together. But it depends upon the situation. Master Suhail will make mention with regard to the logistics more, inshallah. After that, the 11th and the 12th, we remain in Mina. Now this question does come up, that to stay in Mina is sunnat. But if you don't stay in Mina, there is no dam, there is no punishment. There is no dam. But to stay in Mina is a sunnat. And it's, since you are in hajj, and we want to try and get the best hajj possible. And want to get the hajj possible, try and spend as much time, if not all the time in Mina. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent all the time in Mina, right? So if there is a need for you to come, maybe to shower or something like that, you come for a little while and you go back. But nowadays, I don't know how the camps are going to be. I don't want to, beforehand make mention with regard to it, but stay in Mina. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in Mina, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave valuable advices to the Sahaba. One of the advices he gave, he asked the Sahaba in Mina when he was there with them, "Oh people, tell me what month is this?" Now they all knew the month, but they said maybe Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking with a particular reason. Allah and His Rasul knows best. What day is it? Allah and His Rasul knows best. What location is it? Allah and His Rasul knows best. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Is it not the Mubarak month of Zulhijj?" "Yes." "It is not Yawmun Nahar," the days of Tashriq, the Mubarak days of Tashriq. "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." "Is it not in the Haram? Is it not in the Mubarak places in the precincts of Makkah, which is a Mubarak and blessed surroundings?" "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the blood, the flesh, and the honor of a mu'min is more sacred than the month of Zulhijjah, more sacred than the days of Tashriq, more sacred than the location of the Haramain. Now, do we in any time have regard for the respect and honor of people the way we have respect for Madinah, Makkah? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Abdullah ibn Umar said, he addressed the Kaaba one day and said, very great is your status, very great is your significance. And no doubt it is so great. That particular Kaaba and Baytullah, which first was built by Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, then by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, all many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made tawaf of it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and made Umrah, four times Umrah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, right? And made Hajj. And that particular Kaaba and Baytullah, in the world, the mu'mineen make tawaf of it. Immediately in line with it, in the year after, the angels make tawaf of it in Bayt Ma'mur. And every day 70,000 angels make tawaf of the Bayt Ma'mur in line with the Kaaba, almost like the Kaaba. And they get the chance once in their life, never get a chance after that again. So that Kaaba, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, very great is your significance, but the honor of the believer is even greater than you. The honor of a believer is even greater than you. Huh? Can we imagine the honor of a believer, and how do we in today's time, you know, do with regard to backbiting, taunting, speaking bad about people, speaking things about people without verification? It's like we're breaking Kaabas every day in our day-to-day life. We are breaking Kaabas every day in our day-to-day life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So the 11th, you will do the pelting after Zawal. 12th, you will do the pelting. Now remember, the 12th this time will be Jummah. Right? There is Jummah in Mina. Or I don't know where the people will be according to your status. Wherever you are, you will make the Jummah. After Jummah, you will make the pelting. And try and be back wherever you are. If you are not going to stay in Mina, if you are... So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever stays 2 days after the 10th and he does pelting, there is no guna upon him. No sin upon him. So he can finish on that Friday, the 12th. There is no sin upon him if he comes back into Aziziyah and doesn't go back. وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنْ اتَّخَى. But if you delay it and you go and pelt on the 13th, there is no guna upon you also. But Allah Ta'ala gives an indication, لِمَنْ اتَّقَى, for one who has taqwa. So there is an indication that is better and good if you can do it on the 13th. But there is no guna if you come back on the 12th and you say, all right, I'm finished now, I'm tired. Right? However, if you are in Mina on the Fajr of 13th, then you have to pelt. If for some reason you sleep over, right? And if you are in Mina on the 13th, then you can't say, I got an option. The option is as long as you're outside Mina. Once you are in Mina in the 13th, then you have to pelt. So this is basically what we will do with regard to the Hajj. After we come back, either on the 12th or the 13th, depending upon how we will find ourselves and what option we choose, then there is one more wajib. Now, remember in Umrah, Tawaf-e Wida is mustahab or sunnah. It's not compulsory. You don't have to do Tawaf-e Wida, although it's good to do Tawaf-e Wida even in Umrah. And in Hajj, Tawaf-e Wida is compulsory. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also didn't stay long. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the 13th, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went back to Medina. Right? So either 13th or the 14th, I think. The only thing that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam waited was told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha to go and make Umrah, because she didn't make Umrah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent her with her brother, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. Otherwise, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even told her, you're going to make Umrah, you're going to delay us. Let's go quickly and come back. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, immediately after Hajj, went back. Now, there are people who stay according to their situation. Sometimes the packages, you stay after Hajj. No, sometimes, I know many people I've met, they're going to Medina after Hajj. Some of them, like, we have come before Hajj, we went to Medina. So these are the different types of situations. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had a very amazing view. His view was, after Hajj, as soon as possible, go home. After Hajj, as soon as possible, go home. And his wisdom also was absolutely unique, absolutely amazing. But he said, see, it's natural. After you have been so long here, you want to go home, you long for your children, you long for your family, you long for your environment. So he said, because you long go home, he said, it's better that you be at home and your mind and your heart is in Makkah than being in Makkah and your heart is at home. Huh? Can you imagine? Now obviously after you finish, you want to go home. So he said, go home as soon as possible. Now according to our schedules, we will go home. Now don't go and trouble the travel agent and say, no, I want to go home. One of the Bob said he must go home quickly. No flights available now. So but as soon as possible if you can, and that is the reason why Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has made mention. He says, better for me to be at home and thinking of Makkah than being in Makkah and thinking of home. Subhanallah. And then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our hajj. Allah ta'ala accept our du'as inshallah. We must make a lot of du'a for qubuliyat. Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu says, sometimes the amal is there, qubuliyat is not there. Sometimes the amal is there and there is no acceptance. And Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu said, I am prepared to give the world and whatever it contains if I come to know if one deed of mine is accepted by Allah. If I come to know that one deed of mine is accepted by Allah, I'm prepared to give the world and whatever it contains. We don't know. And that's also good, we don't know. Now, can you imagine if we knew that our deeds are accepted? How much, first of all, today we don't even know whether our deeds are accepted or not, and we are becoming and thinking we are so pious. Huh? We think we are so pious, we don't even know our deeds are accepted. Especially in South Africa. Everyone thinks himself, he's on haq. Everyone else is batil, he's on haq. You don't even know whether Allah Ta'ala accepted your good deeds or not. But no, we are on haq. We are on haq, other people are on batil. But do you know whether you are on haq or on batil? Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. He knows who is pious. But everyone is praising himself. Now we don't even know. And it's good that we don't know. Because we don't know, there is a feeling of what? There is a feeling of humility and anxiety and expectation. Ya Allah, we hope you will accept. But we don't know, Ya Allah, therefore we are afraid. So that is why when we finish namaz, what do? We do two things. We do two things after. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani has made mention in one of his books of tafsir, the recent ones. He said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, when you finish your namaz, you must do two things. You break the back of shaitan. One is you must read astaghfar, and one you must say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Thank Allah Ta'ala. Says Alhamdulillah. Now we make astaghfar, we don't make Alhamdulillah. Huh? We make astaghfar, we don't say, Allah Ta'ala gave you the ability to do hajj. Allah Ta'ala gave you the ability to do namaz. Thank Allah Ta'ala with regard to it. So after namaz, you do two things, astaghfar and Alhamdulillah. Because astaghfar, oh Allah, we have not done deeds which are equivalent to your greatness. But Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you have given us the opportunity. Now, you know, one incident come to another. So, you know, because of the reading you have read. So there was a very great, pious person in Pakistan who passed away, Dr. Abdul Arafi, rahmatullah alayhi. He was a Khalifa of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, and he performed the janazah of our rector of our madrasa, Maulana Yusuf bin Nur rahmatullah alayhi. I saw him one or two times, but you know, when you are a student, your students are always, you know, they very carefree. They don't value their time, they don't value personalities. We never used to value him. We used to see him one or two times, never used to go into his gatherings, and now you regret. Ya Allah, he was such a great person, we should have gone to him. So he makes mention of a very amazing incident. He said one day a person came in front of him, and he told him, and he said that, my ibadat is useless. My ibadat and all what we are doing, our namaz and our ibadat and our azkar is useless. Absolutely no value whatsoever. So he told him, see, it's true that it is not worthy of presenting before Allah Ta'ala. That is true. You know, our ibadat and our namaz can never be equivalent to the greatness of Allah, but don't say it is useless. So when he insisted saying, no, you know, our namaz is bekar, it's so bad, it's so terrible. So then all of a sudden, Dr. Abdullah Sahab rahmatullah alayhi said, then if it is so useless, make sijda in front of me. And he said, what? He said, you say it is so useless, your namaz and everything is so useless, so if it is so useless, make in front of me. He said, no, I can only make in front of Allah. He said, if you can only make it in front of Allah, Ta'ala is not useless. Your knowledge is all you can make sijda in front of Allah, Ta'ala. How can it be useless? You'll never put this particular portion of your head in front of someone else. We as Muslims are so much that even in our karate classes, we tell people, don't bow down too much. It's only reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you hear that ibadat is only for Allah ta'ala, then it can't be useless. Huh? Remember this. Yes, it is. We all make istighfar, but we make alhamdulillah also. So get the right balance. So we will, inshallah, we will end our hajj with these two things. Bain al-khawfi wal-raja. Allah, we didn't do it enough properly, Allah. We have guilt, we should have done this, we should have made more ibadah. That is good to have. But then after you also say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, you gave us the opportunity to do it. We wouldn't have come and spent so much money yet. We wouldn't have spent, I don't know how much money you're spending for the KMD, 30,000, 40,000. You would spend 40,000 for any other reason. You won't spend 40,000 other, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you're spending. So thank Allah Ta'ala for that also. So you end off with bayn al-khawfi wa raja, between hope in expecting mercy and fear that we might have done something wrong. That's how we will end off our Hajj, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.
One question, when
you do your tawaf,
the preferable
things? First, just with regard to your question, yes, after tawaf is ziyarat, we will do sa'i. And the pelting on the 11th and 12th after zawal. Yeah.
Why is this?